Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. We'd like for you to say that with us when we start, because words matter. Words are a big deal. And you don't want to wait till you're halfway through the class to decide, yeah, I think I'm getting something. Now go ahead, right off the bat, time's precious. And just release faith to say, yeah, I'm getting fed. I'm getting built up. Not because of me, because of what we're going to be talking about. The Word, right? His words build us up and feed us. Father, we're so thankful. You're so gracious and good to us. We ask you for the utterance, the anointing, the direction, the answers and help for now. And we purpose not to be hearers only, but to value what you show us and hold on to it. And with your help, do it. And as surely as we do it and act on it, you are faithful. You will watch over it. You will perform your word in our lives. We say, Lord, do it to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We've been on a series now here in Faith School for a number of weeks that we're calling Faith for Provision. Like we were talking in yesterday's class, that faith has to be developed in each area. It's possible to be strong in faith in one area of your life and be faithless, no faith at all, in another area. And it's not because something's seriously wrong with you. It's just you haven't been fed in that area and you haven't exercised your faith in that area. It'd be like, you know, if you use this arm all the time and lifted weights and everything and you never did anything with this arm at all, well, what's going to happen? Well, this one would be developed. This one would be atrophied. So, no, let's use it, right? Yeah. Let's get this one going too. Yeah. Let's get to hitting on all cylinders, yeah. Right? And just have victory in every area of life instead of hit and miss. Well, you're not going to have faith for provision or faith for abundance if you never hear about it. And if you're not sure whether it's even God's will or not. And so that's why we have one by one begun giving 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. That's a big statement, not accepted by everybody. But then again, what is their belief based on? Did you hear that 30? Reasons from Scripture. Yes. We're talking hundreds of verses. Yes. Why we're sure. So it's not about you agreeing with me or me agreeing with you. It's about both of us agreeing with Him. Yes. Right? So say it out loud. Abundant provision,
is
always
God's will
for us all.
Abundant provision
is always God's will
for me.
Always.
Always.
And so we're down now, we've already covered like 17 of these 30 reasons. Our first one was the Lord, from Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. What's the rest of it?
I shall
not want. Well, if a sheep has got a good shepherd, what does that mean? The shepherd's going to always have them in the right pasture at the right time by the good water source and a safe place.
Yes.
And see, that's what, you know, David was a shepherd as a boy. And he's got this revelation that like he looked over his father's sheep, God's looking over him.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The Lord is taking care of him. And I mean, there are not too many church-going people who never heard of the 23rd Psalm. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right?
And what is it saying? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Where's the room for poverty and lack? If I just go day after day and month after month and year after year and don't want and don't lack, where's the being poor? Where's the... Totally missed it. Which I'm fine with. How about you? I'm fine with missing out on the poverty. And so he describes it, you know. He leads me beside the still waters, you know. He recovers my soul. He leads me in the rich pastures. He prepares a table before me. I mean, all of this is provision. An abundant provision. And there's no indication that there would be days or months or years of our life where the Lord says, I know I'm your shepherd, but I'm not providing for you right now. I want you to go through some hardships and I'm going to show you some things. No, now you can go through some hardship because of your being a Christian, because of your obeying Him. But that's not suffering from the curse. That's suffering persecution. And that's what people have gotten mixed up about. No, it's never God's will for you and I to suffer a curse. If you live godly, you will suffer some persecution.
Yes.
Not might, will. Right? Because the enemy is not going to be happy. If you're really being a strong witness and you're living the way the Lord wants you to and you're doing the things that the Lord wants you to do, well, the enemy is going to be upset about that. And he's going to try to stir up people to hate you, to hinder you, to fight you, to stop you. And you'll have to be strong and not let that deter you. And there'll be times where you make sacrifices and there'll be times people try to take something from you, that kind of thing. But that's not God wanting you to be poor,
right?
And if you're willingly sacrifice and sow and even, you know, suffer some things in order to get a job done, that's not the end of it. The Lord takes everything you do as a seed sown. It's going to come back to you. Is that right? Multiplied, not only in this life, but in the life to come. So let's keep it straight, not get mixed up like some folks are about it. Go with me, if you would, to Galatians, the third chapter. Galatians chapter 3. Now, we, like I said, we've been given one by one on our way to 30 reasons. And we wound up at number 17, the covenant blessing. And we talked about how that God's a covenant God. And you'll see, he made covenant with Noah. He made covenant with Abraham. And he made covenant with David. And you see, he made covenant with all of his people, Israel, at the mount where he gave the Ten Commandments. And then as they were about to go into the Promised Land, he gave specific instructions for them to go out to these two, we'd call them hills, mounts, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, and how that they were to read the blessings and the curses of his covenant and law. And how that if you would listen to the Lord, there would be blessing. If you rejected him, there would be cursing. Well, the blessing and the curse still exist today. They have not gone away. These are spiritual forces that are overarching and all-encompassing in the earth and in God's creation. I tell you what, for a little bit of a review, go to Deuteronomy 28. Hold your place there in Galatians 3. But go to Deuteronomy 28 and let's just remind ourselves of what we saw previously in the covenant. In Deuteronomy 28 in verse 1, he said, it'll come to pass if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God to observe and do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. That used to be his will. I'm getting some feedback in the class here. Did you hear? They said, well, it still is. Why would you say still is? He does not change. Right? He said, I am the Lord. I change not. A big mistake that a lot of folks are making is treating the Old Testament like it's an old, out-of-date, irrelevant word. This is a giant mistake, and it's very disrespectful. Anything God ever said is right. And it'll always be right. It's true and good. The what has changed is our covenant. He hadn't changed. And you hear people say, well, thank the Lord, all those statutes and all those ordinances and everything, man, I'm glad we don't have to think about all that anymore. Why shouldn't you think about it?
That's right.
Would the Lord say, forget all that?
No.
Huh? I've changed?
Mm-mm.
No. If the Lord hadn't come, we should still be offering animal sacrifices. Huh? But He has come.
Yes.
And because He has come, He is the final sacrifice for sin. So no more sacrifice for sin needs to be made. Hallelujah. And so that is fulfilled. But when people say, well, yeah, we shouldn't even talk about the Ten Commandments. Did you notice we got the Ten Commandments right here? Huh? We like the Ten Commandments. Is it still a good idea? You shall have no other gods before me?
Yes.
Why is that old and out of date? Huh? Not lying. Not stealing. Still a good idea.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Not coveting what other people have. Honoring your father and mother.
Yes.
This is timeless truth.
Yes.
Timeless right. And yet people say, well, yeah, but we don't, we don't have to keep the law. The law is still good. The law is still right. We don't try to be righteous or saved by keeping the law. Men failed at that. But Galatians says, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. We're supposed to function a different way in the new covenant. Not just trying to keep the law and do what's right, but it doesn't mean that the law's not still right. So what are we doing? If you're not going to be led by the Spirit, you should listen to the law.
Exactly.
Right? If you're not going to be led by the Spirit, if you're thinking, well, no, they made me mad, I think I'm going to kill them. Well, thou shalt not kill. If you're not going to listen to the Spirit, you ought to listen to that, right? It's still right. It's still right. But no, if instead of trying to keep all of the laws and ordinances, I have the author of the book living inside me. Is that right? 24/7. And He will show me how truth should be applied to each situation every day. And so I don't have to assess, am I keeping the law? Am I doing everything that God told me to do? What I need to do is pray and be led by the Spirit. Right? And what you'll find out is in situation after situation, the Lord will prompt you, do this with them. Do this in this situation. And later on, maybe you're reading in the Word and you thought, well, the Lord told them to do that back in, right? But you didn't even know it. But the Spirit knew it. And if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not trying to keep the law. But the reasons He gave it are still valid. And He said, verse 2, basically, the way we fulfill this today is by faith, walking in love, being led by the Spirit. The Bible said, don't you remember, Romans says, if you love your neighbor, you fulfill the law, right? But you couldn't tell those folk back then, well, you just need to be led by the Spirit. That wasn't available to them. They weren't even born again. They didn't have the love of God shed abroad in their hearts. This is only available to us now in the new birth, the new covenant. But He said, basically, if you listen to me, if you believe me, if you'll trust me, if you'll do what I tell you, You keep our covenant. What will happen? I'm going to set you on high above all the nations of the earth. He's talking about doing this for the whole nation of Israel. And all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. Oh, hallelujah. If you'll hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Is that still true today? Do you still need to listen to him?
Yes.
Yeah, you still need to listen to him. Are we trying to keep the law to be saved and be righteous in his eyes? No, we're not. We acknowledge we couldn't do that. That's why Jesus had to come. He's already made us righteous. We're already saved. We're not trying to earn it. But will we be just as blessed whether we listen to the Lord or we don't listen to him? Now, see, people get hung up on this, but let me help you out. No. No. You won't experience it. It'll be available to you. It's bought and paid for, but you won't enjoy it. You will forfeit it if you're hard-headed, if you're stubborn, if you won't listen, if you won't pray, if you won't seek the Lord, if you won't follow his Spirit, and you insist on doing your own thing and being stubborn. It'll cost you. You can wind up forfeiting things that you should have had. Doesn't mean you're lost, but it means the enemy was able to rob you. I don't want that to happen. What I want to experience is these blessings coming on me and running over me and overtaking me. Is that right? Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Well, you know, you're pretty much in one or the other.
That's right.
Right? When you're leaving the city limits and you thought, oh, I'm getting out in the country. So what now? I'm blessed.
Yes.
Is that right? Oh, there's the city limits. I'm coming back into the city. What now?
I'm blessed.
Now, the reality of the power and the effect of the blessing and the curse needs to dawn more on us. These forces are in the earth. The blessing and the curse. And what he's describing, if you read this, is an overarching, all-encompassing force and power on you, around you, the blessing. And it's doing things for you. Huh?
Amen.
And it results in a blessed, good life. Hmm?
Yes.
Where? In the city.
Yes.
In the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. This is your body, your kids, your family, your investments, your business, your possessions. Are what?
Blessed.
Now, religious folks, blessing doesn't mean anything. It's ritual. It's somebody sneezed. Oh, God bless you. And nothing. Empty. But that's not God. When he said blessed, there's power in it. There's life in it. There's light in it. There's protection in it. There's provision in it. There's help in it. Somebody said out loud, the blessing of the Lord,
is on me,
in me,
around me.
I'm blessed when I go out.
I'm blessed
when I come back in.
All
my stuff is blessed,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
What does that mean, blessed? It means the power of God for you. Don't let that be too simple. The blessing is for. The curse is against you. The blessing does things for you. It helps you. It helps you succeed and complete. What's the curse? It hinders you. Works against you, tries to stop you, slow you, hurt you, take from you. The blessing enhances you, enables you, adds to you, right?
Yes.
He said, Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They'll come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. So anything that comes against you, the blessing repels it and confuses it and scares it and scatters it. So it's a dumb thing to attack a blessed person. Huh? Because you're going to encounter what God has put on them for them will be against you if you're against them. So he goes on to say, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses. Now, I'm going to think if God commands something, something's going to happen. Is that right? And what's he doing? He's commanding what? The blessing on you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand to. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. These are big statements. All that you set your hand to. Everybody say all.
All.
Everything.
Everything.
All I set my hand to.
All I set my hand to.
The blessing
is on me.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
The Lord has commanded. The blessing on me. In my storehouses.
All my things.
And everything. I put my hand to.
The
blessing is for me.
Hallelujah.
Shouldn't everybody want this?
Yes.
I mean, if you had any understanding, you would say, yes, yes, and please, yes, sign me up, here I am.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. Yes, blessing on me. Every day and every night. The blessing is God's power on you, for you, to help you, provide for you, protect you, bless you, for you. And he said, the Lord will establish you a holy people to himself, as he's sworn to you, if you'll keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. It's conditional. It's covenant. If you do what I tell you to do, I'm going to do this for you. Is that still true today?
Yes.
See, some people try to say, well, no, Brother Keith, you know, we're under grace, so it's not performative. Not your salvation. But the Bible said that we're saved by grace, Ephesians says, through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast, not of yourself. But then the very next couple of phrases talks about that we're saved to do good works.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We're not saved by good works, but we are saved to do good works. And there's benefits from doing these good works. No, I'm not counting on doing enough good works to be saved. I never could be. That means I didn't need Jesus to come for me. We all needed Jesus to come for us. None of us could save ourselves. But every day of your life, God has a plan for you. He has a path he's already selected for you. He has connections he's already chosen for you and ordained. If you listen to him, if you seek him, if you ask him, if you follow him, isn't that similar to saying, if you do what I tell you to do? Same idea. If you do that, then your path will grow brighter every day.
Yes.
It'll get better and brighter. Why? Because you're in the blessing path. You're in the blessing way. Do you have to do that? No. You can decide you don't need to pray. I'm never going to pray. I don't need to ask the Lord, because you can believe some goofy idea that everything that happens is God anyway and nothing can happen unless it's His will. Not true. Not true. Not true. And you can decide, well, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do, and I'm not going to try to find His will. Well, you'll be on another road.
Right.
Your own road. You'll be on another path. And as such, you won't be in the blessing path.
Right.
Oh, you're saved. You're saved. If you died right now, you'd go to be with the Lord. But you're not in the blessing path. You're not experiencing what He wants you to experience. And you also go through some places you shouldn't go through. And go through some things you shouldn't go through. And that's what He goes on to say. If you won't listen to Me, you're going to encounter the curse. It's here. It's in the earth. And it's not like God's having to try to curse you individually. Without the blessing, without His help, you're in trouble. Right? And you're not going to be able to avoid the curse that's all over the earth without His keeping and protection. And so He said, the Lord will establish you a holy people to Himself. Verse 10, all the people will see and call you by the name of the Lord. Verse 11, the Lord will make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, the fruit of the cattle, the fruit of the ground, the land that the Lord your fathers has given you. He'll open His good treasure, the heaven, give you rain. He'll bless all the work of your hand. You'll lend to many nations. You won't borrow. He'll make you the head and not the tail. Is there any broke anywhere in this? The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. Hallelujah. And He adds no sorrow to it. And our time's up again. Said out loud, the blessing of the Lord,
is on me.
Is on me.
I choose
to submit to His Lordship.
I choose
to follow His Spirit, and listen to Him.
And
His blessing is on me in every part of my life, every day of my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we actually just got ready for the next part of this. So come back tomorrow, and we're going to launch into the other side of this and see what we've been redeemed from. We'll see you soon here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390